In Genesis 1, we're told that God made man in his image, that he would have dominion over the earth, over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky. And in verse 5 of chapter 2, he returns to the subject, and we'll see that as he gets further down, of Jesus being better than the angels. It says in verse 5, "For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking." So this word subject or subject is an administrative rule. The world is the inhabited earth in the Greek, and Christ's reign here on earth, we see from 1 Corinthians 6 and Revelation 20 that believers, his followers, will reign with him. And in verse 6, he says this, "But one has testified somewhere saying, 'What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him?'" Why would the author of Hebrews not specifically say where he was quoting? He just says, "One has testified somewhere." I believe he's making the point that Scripture is written by God. And whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Psalmist, really the overarching truth of Scripture is that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that he moved these men as they wrote. But we'll move past that now, and it's a rhetorical style in a sense, not detracting from his point, and simply pointing to the fact that God is the ultimate author of Scripture. And notice the Son of Man is not capital here. It's not referring to Christ. So we have Jesus as a sustainer, administrator, the one who is orchestrating all of creation and time. He cares for us. God, the great three-in-one, cares for mankind. Not the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, but man. He is concerned about mankind. In verse 7, it says this, "You have made him for a little while lower than the angels." So while we're here on earth, we are mortal in our bodies and sinful beings. We're lower than the angels who are in the very presence of God, who have never sinned and who serve God perfectly. And yet, God has crowned us with honor and glory. We have, though the fact that we are sinful remains, God has made us in his image. Furthermore, as believers, we are indwelt by the Spirit, and we are reflectors of God's working in us and his saving grace. And then it says, "And he has appointed him over the works of your hands." This above statement is explained further. God has given dominion of man over creation. And it says, verse 8, "You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him." Do you think the author could make this any clearer? All creation is subject to God's image bearers. "But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him." Obviously, because we are sinful and because of the fall and a broken world, we as God's image bearers are not functioning perfectly here on earth. And we see, though, that God's original perfect design for man since Adam and Eve has been broken. So what is our hope? And that's what the author brings in here next. He says, "But we do see him." Who is him? Jesus Christ, who was made for a little while lower than the angels. Who is this one who is made for a little while lower than the angels? Namely, Jesus. And once again, this is not placing the eternal Son underneath angels. He has the name that is above every name. He is the one who is worthy of worship. The author is just getting through a large argument that he is better than the angels. But what it's saying is that the eternal Son, as he took on human flesh and suffered death, he allowed himself in that way to be lower than the angels as he suffered death. It says, because of the suffering of death. And then it says, though, after this, he was crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. This word taste, it's not just a sip, but gives the impression of a full tasting, a partaking. And what is the response to Jesus Christ, the one through his death and resurrection, this crowning of honor and glory that brings us to salvation as we believe by faith in him and trust in him and what he's done for us? Well, Revelation 5 gives us a taste. In verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth.'" So we look to Jesus, for he will restore the created order. There will be peace and God will reign, Isaiah chapter 2. The animals will be as they were in the garden, Isaiah 11. And the plants will be restored, Isaiah 35. So we look forward to that day when Christ sets all things right, for he surely is better than the angels. And it is for this promise is for those who trust in him and are with him as he is their Lord and Savior.